are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna do?
giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
you're gonna turn to next.
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna be?
Tell me why your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet. And Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity. Because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. I hope everything is well with you today. I hope you're going to have a good day today. It is the weekend. You know how we are, living for the weekend. And I hope that everything goes your way. All right, brothers and sisters. I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it isn't, then I know you'll get it done anyway, because that's the kind of brother and a sister that you is. You always get it done. I appreciate that in you. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, and any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the Time for an Awakening website. And well, unfortunately, we're going to get those because the website has changed. So when you go to the website, and it's really cool, but the top on the far right is other programming, and you click on that and you'll see at the very beginning is African Perspectives. But when you click on that, there's nothing there yet. So that'll be done. But you can easily listen, go to timeforanawakening.com, and then there's the podcast piece, and then you can click on that, and then you can listen to what is being played at that hour. So my program is being played right now. If you go to timeforanawakening.com, you know, and hit the podcast piece, and then you'll hear this program. So other programming here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, as I stated, I'm here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also on Mondays and Wednesday, Monday and Wednesday, the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Monday and Wednesday, Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Also Monday evening, and of course all times I'm giving are Eastern times, Monday evening you have Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. And right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 9. Thursdays, Relationships with Joe and Troy at 7 p.m. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, brothers, that is Time for an Awakening. That's right, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. this evening. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's right, y'all, it ain't me. It is Sister POC and Revive from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday night, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Other programming that we promote here on African Perspectives is AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. My good brother Bomani Tahimba is in Ghana as we speak. He is coming home soon. Actually, the 4th. So they've been there since the 22nd. And he's going again. He's going to South Africa November 22nd to December 2nd. He's going to Johannesburg and Cape Town. And then in the end of December, December 24th through January 4th, 2020, he's going back to Ghana, West Africa. And you can be a part of these trips. Go on to his website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Of course, he won't be back until June 4th. But when he comes back after June 4th, give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani 2007. 2007. Can't wait till he gets back so he can find out what's been going on. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. Oh, I was in the Greenbrier Mall yesterday, so I stopped at We Buy Black because it's right across from the Medu Bookstore, which I'll talk about in a second. And they have all kinds of good stuff there. They got some feminine stuff that that sisters be needing. I'm serious. I am going to talk about over there right now, but believe me, you just go check them out at the kiosk. But more importantly, just go online to WeBuyBlack.com and look at the products and hopefully buy some of the products so you can get everything you need from WeBuyBlack.com. They had razors. They had toothbrushes. They had deodorant. They had, stuff for aching muscles and all kinds of good stuff, brothers and sisters. Check them out. WeBuyBlack. com. Shrine of the Black Madonna is a bookstore that has all kinds of stuff because it's not just a bookstore. It is a conglomerate. It has furniture. It has clothing. It has artwork. It has artifacts. It has the red, black, and green shoes. It has all the stuff that you need and is open from Wednesday through Saturday from 12 to 7 and Sunday from 1 to 3. It is in the West End, a cultural center. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And the number to call to the Shrine is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. And they also have a history class every Saturday. Know Thyself, every Saturday, open and free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern. 1:30 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern. But if you don't have the chance or the time, but you like that information, and I know you would, then you can go to the Shrine and get the multimedia library. Brothers and sisters, it is over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment right in your hands, right on your computer for you. And then, of course, there's the Medu Bookstore. Stopped in the Medu. That sister's fro is always beautiful. In fact, I was telling her, I was talking to her, and she remembered, of course, when I came in and looking for Bobby Wright's book. And that was even before I moved here, before I moved here to Atlanta. But she's located right there in the Greenbrier Mall. And check out the bookstore. The number to call is 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And they're featuring the finest selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, figurines, and more, and T-shirts, all kinds of good stuff. And they're open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9. And on Sundays from 12 to 6 at the Greenbrier Mall. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, located in Lithonia. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, owned by my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. You can give him a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-81. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. And there's all kind of good stuff coming out from NASGAS with these shoes. In fact, I've already ordered the new, they're kind of lightweight. You've probably seen them. They're a good walking shoe or jogging shoe. I ain't jogging nowhere, but hey, I need to walk. So check out the black dot. There is light in the black dot. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, ULU, in the spirit of Ujamaa, Cooperative Economics. So as we like to say, family-centered economics, their Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night, last night's broadcast, 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. And the number to call to access it is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789. That is Us Lifting Us. Become a member. Become a tributing member. Go on the line and order some of the coffee. We have a cafe here in Atlanta. 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. 2036 Sylvan Road. We have a cafe open from Tuesday through Friday, from 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So Tuesday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. We got coffee. We got coffee, brothers and sisters. Delicious. Cameroon Boyo, Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopian, Ugandan. We got coffee. We also have coffee from other parts of the world. And we have loose teas. And everything that is sold at Cafe ULU is produced by us, brothers and sisters. We have it all. It's produced by us. So please support Cafe ULU. Go online to www.cafeulu.com. We also have the delicious Vitality drink, energy drink, Ambrosia, Brother Novak Young's creation. And you can give Brother Novak Young a good call and let him know how, because he can send you, you know, gallons. And the number to call is 678-508-7254, Brother Novak Young. But Ambrosia just, it is really good. I'm just taking my word for it. Just, you know, try it. Just try it. Akaben Institute, Brother Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti, their school needs help always because they're totally independent, accepting no money from outside of our community. Akaben Institute, you can send your cash donations. You can write a check or money order to Akaben Institute. P.O. Box 10786. P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But you also can go on PayPal and go on Cash App and those kinds of things too. Okay? And you can put that information in there. And they have the Complementarity Conference tonight. Tonight it's going to be at the Sweet Spot as well as tomorrow. Tonight is a meet and greet starting at 8 o'clock. Get a chance to mingle and talk because the Complementarity Conference is about men and women coming together. Brothers and sisters, as I say in my libation, we need each other to produce family life, which produces good community life, which produces a good, wholesome environment to raise children, to raise warriors. We need each other, brothers and sisters. So the conference is tomorrow at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway here in Atlanta. Also, that's where the meet and greet will be. So please come check that out. Juneteenth Day here in Atlanta is the weekend of the 14th here in Atlanta. Some celebrate it like Milwaukee does on June 19th. I will have Brother Johnson in. We'll talk more about the Juneteenth Day celebration. And what else? Oh, yes, of course. Black Talk Radio Network Project. That's right, brothers and sisters. The Black Talk Radio Network Project. Independent Media Fund. And you can go online. In fact, go online to blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the Black Talk Radio Network Project Independent Media Fund. Highlight that. Click on that. You see there's two places where you can donate. Okay? To that fund. You hit that gold oblong that says donate. Hit that. And whatever how you can card you use and make a contribution. Help. If everybody just do their part, if you send $10, $25, $50, every one of them helps. We want to keep this forum alive. I just stated to you that the Black Talk Radio Network Project is the number one American African podcast in the country. So congratulate my brother Scotty Reed for the job he's doing. I want to thank him once again for allowing me to broadcast this past Wednesday and Monday. I want to thank him and for being part of this family, the Black Talk Radio Network family. So, brothers and sisters, please do that. I will constantly announce this, and hopefully that you will. The Inye Say Sim. The Inye Say Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Today is the 31st. So, yesterday's the 30th. We'll read that one. May 30th. Revolution is not a gig for crybabies. Nana Kantu. What we are now witnessing is a cultural and social degeneration through multiple generations of progressive spoilage. There has been misguided spoilage in our community before, but this is new. It is a selfish, heathenistic, willful, and arrogant form of spoilage which comes with no sense of benevolence, humanistic responsibility to others whatsoever, unless some form of reward is offered. Those afflicted in this way have no desire to work or accomplish anything of worth, except possibly when it affords them the opportunity to gain more individualistic things and satisfy a need for attention. Africans victimized in this way have no respect for others, except for those with the will and means to punish them when disrespected. Those who reward them without this capacity are taken for granted and dismissed accordingly. With this new form of spoilage, our community's potential to define itself from external assault and internal discord has become even more difficult. Unknown to most of us, it is not our children's fault. They did not raise themselves. However, we know that there are those who know what they are doing. We have people who hide their pale insanities behind the mask of an African center, and those who claim to be warriors but who refuse to do the hard work of relinquishing their highly individualistic European imperatives when rearing our children do more damage to our movement than Negroes, lost souls, or even Europeans. Affirm. By example, I do not raise crybabies. Affirm. By example, I do not raise crybabies. May 31st. The Greek tongue is a noise of words, a language of argument and confusion. Kemetic. Things Europeans want to attribute to industrialization, mass society, the service economy that they have spawned, some other interpersonal forces in this world, or simply some genetic quirk, can be directly connected to the character of their cultural personality. Our evidence is based on the historical record. Divorce is a most glaring example of this fact. That's probably good while I'm talking about the complementarity and the problems that happen in society. It's abnormally high official legal divorce and separation, and unofficial emotionally detached, distraught cohabitation, separation without legal notice, serial monogamy within marriage, and bigamy. Levels have fluctuated little since their frigid, aggressive, domineering beginnings. The causes of this continuation in the inability of husbands and wives to be loving or even remain civil is a spousal relationship is easily found in their genocultural personality. Excessive competitiveness, sexual antagonism, and inequalities or insecurities and inadequacies. No respect for the union of others and no respect for the sanctity of the institution of marriage, but a few of the many reasons, but these are a few of the many reasons they cannot get along in close quarters, except during sex. We must remember to look to the origins. Mythology reflects a people's ideal and normal state of being. Dysfunctional families, abuse, and divorce were the norm amongst the gods and goddesses of Olympia, with Zeus and Hera, king and queens of these deities, having the worst fidelity and marital records. Even the stuff that they you know, fantasize and want to bring up, still, they have issues and problems. I do not speak antagonistically to family members. I do not speak antagonistically to family members. The Enya Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. My brothers and sisters, it is good to be back on the air, to be able to talk with you, to be able to share with you what's going on. I really appreciate it. I want to thank for those who have been patient while we unfortunately had this situation. But, hey, as the saying goes, exactly, it happens. It does happen. One of the things I was talking about, although you didn't hear them, was African liberation. African Liberation Day and the importance of African Liberation Day. I know those who had an opportunity to listen via Black Talk Radio Network through the phone line, we had great discussions, and I appreciate that for those of my good listeners that continue to support this program. I appreciate it and hope you continue to do so. But we're on the air. We're on back on the internet. We're back where a lot of other people can hear, and so I'm hoping that you understand what I was trying to bring, because I've been off a while, because I was unable, because of no fault of my own, that my internet was down. And then last Thursday, and definitely last Friday, the server was down for here for Time for an Awakening. So now we got it together, and we're ready to roll again to provide you with a lot of good information, a lot of good conversation, and things that we can put on the African mind, because that's what this program is about. This program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. I believe there is no other discussion that we as African people should be having. You know, I know that is very difficult in this country, in America. Oh, I forgot, this is Friday. I forgot to mention my good brother Yusuf Muhammad with Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. I had it right here in front of me. But Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness is every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern. Brother Yusuf Muhammad, he's also a firefighter. I will be seeing him probably tonight or tomorrow for sure in New Orleans. I'm going to New Orleans for our firefighter conference. I'll talk a minute about that. But if you are want to know more about things that can happen and how you can protect yourself and your family, things you need to do, because there's a lot, especially if you're living in what's going on is beyond Tornado Alley. It is happening throughout the Midwest of this country. Here in the Southeast, we're baking. I mean, there might be starting to talk about water rationing and whatever, you know, because we're baking here in the Southeast. It's been, in fact, today it will not get above 90. That's almost 2 weeks of over 90 degrees. It will not get above 90 today. But the point being is that you need to know. So give them a call to listen to the program at 563-999-3089. 563-999-3089. That is Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness with my good brother, Brother Yusuf Muhammad. But yeah, getting back to what I was talking about in terms of our program and what I was saying about African Liberation Day, I feel that there's no more important day for our people than African Liberation Day. I'm just keeping it real. I firmly believe that. And especially at this time, because having gone to Africa a number of times, looking and constantly reading about Africa and Africans on the continent throughout the diaspora, and having this experience here, You know, for some time I've given up on the idea of equality in this country. I've given up on the idea that Caucasians, having created the United States or even Canada, because there's a perception about Canada, especially since Toronto Raptors are in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors, and they have a super fan who is an Indian, and they talked about his story. He was an engineer, but he couldn't get it. He said he tried to make the story out as if Canada is a more welcoming place for Africans and other brothers and sisters, you know, in Canada. I maintain, you know, they used to say if you're south of the Canadian border, you're south. I maintain if you're south of the North Pole, you know, because it doesn't make any difference. And now looking at the history, because, you know, Malcolm said of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Looking at the history of Europeans and their human evolutionary development and what they have done over the periods of time, it is clear in my mind. It is clear in my mind. There is nothing that we can do, nothing that we can say that can change these people and have them accept us with and what we have to bring with dignity and respect. I know we want to so bad because we've been trained that way. We've been trained to hate ourselves, and so we truly want to be much like them. If you want to get in this conversation, please do. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, because I want to talk to you today. I had no really set thing because it's kind of open mic because I'm just happy to be back on the internet. And believe me, I was happy to broadcast the last couple of days just to be on the mic, even though it wasn't over the internet, but just to be happy to share some information with our good brothers and sisters. But yeah, how they develop. And so I have come to the conclusion, because I'm just like a lot of, mostly all of us here in America, we want, because of the unique situation here of our in captivity and our enslavement, and because of what y'all have done to us, we want y'all to see our humanity. We want you to say, hey, you know what? I recognize what I've done, and now my amends is, you know, I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be equal. I'm going to pay restitution. Ooh, reparations. You know, I'm going to be fair. And you know, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I've seen an article talking about black men are making it in America. And I was thought about doing it, you know, reading that article. But it's almost like the other day I read an article from one of the websites, because I read 10 things of why African Liberation Day and African unity, because that's what African Liberation Day is about. African unity on the continent, and has a firm, solid foundation for Africans. For Africans in the diaspora to look at themselves and feel good. Cause I mean, I understand clearly that a lot of us are not going to go back home. You know, many people have firmly established themselves here in many ways. My contention is, and my hope is that we will support home. Like European Jews support the state they created, the state they took from the Palestinians. That's just being real, y'all. They took from the Palestinians because they had no right biologically, no right genetically. They're not Hebrews. They're not. They're created. So these European Jews and or other ethnic groups who are away from their home, away from their cultural and family beginnings. We'll support them. We'll send money to them. You know, although the European Jews, the United States gives so much money. They give more money to Israel. That financial aid is more than what they give Africa to the continent, that just one area. In fact, I don't know if you remember, I don't know if that law passed, but they were talking about a law that if you, as a citizen of this country, wanted to boycott Israel for its mistreatment and its overt racism and displacement of not just Palestinians, but the mistreatment of Africans, and you wanted to boycott, you would be fined and imprisoned. And the Congressional Black Caucus is so in the pocket of the European Jews, they are mute. They have been neutered. A good friend of mine, she works for Gwen Moore, who is the congresswoman from Wisconsin, southeastern Wisconsin, the 5th Congressional District, Gwen Moore. She's been in there for a number of years now. And my good friend, she works for her, and she has been, she's done work prior to working for Gwen Moore, dealing with Africa, been there many times, established some good relationships. She's been in Europe, speaks a number of languages, German, another language that she speaks. And so anyway, she had set up with the Congressional Black Caucus and a delegation of Africans from various countries, had a reception. The Negroes from the Congressional Black Caucus didn't even show up, but a couple, whatever. Because they weak. The problem for us here, and even in the educational institutions and every other facet in society here, this is theirs, and we are afraid. That's what they put into us, fear. We are afraid, fear. False evidence appearing real. You got that one, Kwaku? Fear. That's what they put into us. It is. And it's false evidence appearing real because it isn't there. But yet, it holds us back. We're afraid to challenge it. We're afraid to challenge each other. We're afraid to come together with each other because we've been trained. So these are the problems that we have. And the only solution for us is something that we don't want to deal with. We're constantly in a begging mode. We're constantly begging and pleading. We don't want to deal with the attitude and the idea of coming together. We don't want to deal with the attitude and the idea of us pulling our resources together, trusting one another, believing in one another, respecting one another, helping one another. Because, see, in America, a lot of times we don't understand what America is about and what Europeans are about. Individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what this country was founded on. That's the mindset of Europeans. Individualism. I got mine. I'm only worried about me and mine. I don't give a damn about you and yours. I got mine. And if you didn't get yours, it's your fault. It ain't the society's fault. It's your fault. They're not understanding, for those who buy into the BS, that's what this society is about. Individualism. But it ain't that way for you. Only a few of you, not every one of you. Because the bottom line is, this is theirs. It is not ours. It was built for them and their prosperity. And even though their numbers are dwindling globally, but that was known decades ago. Caucasian European Jew, Ben Waffenberg, wrote a book called The Decline of the West. Even Pat Buchanan mentioned it when he was back on TV and running for president some time ago. They understand. In fact, I know you have been noticing, at least I hope you have, the amount of, quote, mixed race or multiracial or multi-ethnic or multicultural people on television. In fact, you have the sitcom Blackish. They're gonna have a sitcom that deals with, I forgot what they call it, because it's spun off, I guess, out of a Blackish. Mix. I can't even pronounce it. But, you know, because you are being conditioned to accept that. You are being conditioned. We know the dynamics of the impact of what Caucasians have done, and especially how it makes us feel, how it makes our women feel. They don't want to be too dark. They don't want no kinky hair or no broad nose. So they bleach their skin. Those who have the money will get a nose job. Those who have the money will get other augmentations. So you know the effect of European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, what it causes. But it causes it around the world because it is global. It is a global phenomenon. And the effects on African people have been disastrous. The self-hating, the loathing, the willingness to kill and maim one another. Nobody in this country, in the United States, nobody kills themselves the way that we do. Rescue me if I'm wrong. I don't hear about Chinese or Asians. I know they have gangs, not to the point that these gangs, like other ethnic groups, quite sure they do. But you don't hear a murder. Maybe it's because I'm here in Atlanta, which is predominantly us. Maybe if I lived in another part of the country that is more diverse, maybe more multicultural, maybe more Asians and so forth, I would hear news stories about Asians killing themselves, shooting themselves, fighting over trivial and insignificant things. Maybe. I don't know. But I know what happens here to us and what happens on the continent to us. Self-hatred has been instilled in us. And the fear, because when we came out of the captivity, understanding that we could see, that's why you got to understand that that war, the Civil War, was not fought so we could be part of the society. The Civil War was fought because they wanted the emergence of the industrialization of the North to be the focus, as opposed to the free labor economy of the South, where people, just a few people, were getting very rich. So when those Europeans fought each other in the battles that they put markers on and so forth, and of course later, sometimes 40, 50 years later, has acts of intimidation and to strike more fear into us, erected all of these statues. Because it'd be one thing that they did that
after the war to honor these people. But no, they did that with the express purpose. When the move for integration was happening. I saw a piece somebody sent me with a brother from Cameroon, and he's knocking off the heads of the statues in Cameroon. I loved it. The Cameroonian government got on him about it, but the Cameroonian government should be responsible for removing those things. I think that the problem for us is the fear is so deep. The fear is so deep, so ingrained, so insidious that it was hard for us to tell this. See, let me say this about me. I have over the years, because based on this information and listening to our scholars, our historians, our elders, and our ancestors, I give less than a rat's ass. I'm very serious. I have no fear. Number one, because I'm too damn old. I have more years behind me than ahead of me. And so I'm going to say it for what it is. I don't care. Let me take this call before we go to a break. And I think I need a break. I think I need to take a call. Caller 646. Caller 646. Good morning.
Hey, what's happening, man? Good morning to you, brother.
Hey, Jay, how you doing, man? How are you today? Good.
I'm always doing good. I just got a quick question
for
you. I asked this to a friend of mine last night. I asked him this simple question. If there's one thing that you could do with the Yoruba, what would it be?
And what was the answer?
No, I'm asking you the question.
Oh, you're asking me the question. I thought you asked him and he gave you an answer. But if you're asking me the question, you know, if there's one thing I could do, like, I mean, obviously, to me, see, I'm looking at it like we need to divorce ourselves. We need to exit. We need to get out. We need to let this man. See, but now by leaving him on the planet, because we can see that by history, like I said, history, you know, qualifies all our research. Look at the history. Even when in this country, where we couldn't go to their stores, we couldn't do anything, we came together, pulled the resources, and we created those towns amongst ourselves. And because the European is so demented and so sick and so jealous and so greedy and selfish, that he moved on our communities and wrecked them. He stole whatever he could steal, burned the places down, either killed some of us or imprisoned us, and nobody ever was held accountable. No government entity, no sheriffs, no police, the Caucasians, nobody. And we're just supposed to just take that. And so to this day, Brother Jay, as you know, there is no place in America where we can have a community that is self-contained, that has some type of sovereignty. Yes, I know we got a couple of enclaves like the village in Olatunji Village down in South Carolina. We got another couple other places, but they're not wholly ours. And of course, we have to pay taxes. We have to pay the water bill. We have to do this, that, and the other. They're not self-contained. That's why, to me, it is ludicrous to even try to talk about, just like when you were talking about the Nation of Islam wants the European to give them the Southeast, the Southern states. You know, they want them to give them the Southern states. And that was coming out of the Nation of Islam as well as the Republic of New Africa. They want these Southern. I would never want to be in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. Look at the history. Look what they did to the brother who moved his people out to Los Angeles and Allentown. They poisoned the water. Look what they did to the brothers and sisters in Elaine, Arkansas, who were trying to organize as sharecroppers. They had a meeting in the church and they vamped on them and basically mass murder. Look at what happened in Tulsa and Rosewood. Look at the gentrification and look at the model cities and the wrecking of solid African communities through the model cities program and the interstate program. Most of those interstates went right through our community. It went right through the community in Milwaukee. So I'm saying is that, you know, he has consistently shown you who he is, but we keep holding out hope and believing through moral persuasion that we can somehow make the Caucasian see our humanity and have some understanding of it and, of course, would be treated likewise. No. They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They suffer from they suffer from Caucasian fragility. They suffer from the idea of their hegemony. Those three things right there alone will say to you, there is nothing that you can do or say to make this Caucasian change the way he looks at you and treat you with dignity and respect. Oh, yes, we have some American Africans who are in some a dark face in a high place. That don't mean nothing because it's not theirs. They're just running it for the European. There's not there. They don't. It's not something that it was independent. Because I made a mention of a sister who now what company is that that she just is now the CEO. I can't remember. But you know, I don't celebrate even when I was going through Facebook looking at the brothers and sisters who did real well on the SATs, who got all kinds of scholarships and so forth and graduating here and there. It's just like even the brother who's a billionaire through his investment fund who paid the money off for the graduating class at Morehouse. Now, if it was me, my contention would be for you to be revolutionaries, for you to work on behalf of our people. But you and I know that these educational institutions, whether they're the Caucasians or the so-called HCBUs, they train you to go work for Caucasians, to go beg them for jobs. They don't train you to work amongst yourselves, pull your resources, and do something different. They don't talk about collective economics, because here is capitalism. And capitalism is a very evil system. And Caucasians, that's why even Caucasians don't even want to even talk about redistribution of wealth, because they believe they could be part of that 1% of people who have so much wealth. It's just ridiculous. It's stupid. So, you know,
well, you still ain't tell me the one thing you like to do to a Yoruba.
Well,
I'll say what you won't say. I like to put a burning necktie around them. That's all I like to do to all of them. I'm at the point where I don't believe in allyship with no Yoruba or no level. I just want to see them all wiped off the planet Earth.
Well, see, that's the thing,
because
Jay.
That's the only way. No, let me finish. That's the only way we may get a semblance of African balance. Now, after that happens, then I'll have to do what Mao did when he started the revolution.
Right.
Handle business with our own. See, the reality is that, like you said, we are always looking for the Yoruba to act like a human being. He's not a human being. He's a mongoloid. He's a bastardized identification of who and what we are as human beings. He's a soulless creature. That's why he has no melanin. That separates him from us on the most highest level. See, we haven't come to the understanding that this rule is never going to do right by African people.
No.
It's just not within his nature.
No, it's
not. He hasn't been trained to do that, and he's not going to do anything to do it. So when you have that type of persistent enemy, you got to eliminate it. If you don't eliminate it, you'll always be be a problem. Until we as African people understand that, then we're going to always be in this condition. But we as African people have to figure out a way to exist among ourselves and build to the point to where we could put the burning necktie around their necks and eliminate all of them. That's our problem.
Yeah. But see, the only place that we can build,
doing that, brother.
The only place that we can build is on a continent. That's why I'm adamant about the return. That's why I'm adamant about sovereignty. We cannot be sovereign on this continent or in this hemisphere. I don't give a damn as much as you want, as much as Caribbeans love Jamaica or Cuba or whatever, you know, Trinidad and whatever. You cannot be sovereign. Because all of those places are really playgrounds for Caucasians, and they come back and go Barbados, come and go as they please.
They go there. They go there and have fun.
Yeah.
And then when they need to punish them, they do whatever is necessary to do to put them in the strength position. I mean, just look at what Fredo Trump is doing right now. To come up at this time after you in the tariff war with China that you're losing. To now say that you're going to go into a tariff war with Mexico,
right.
That's only going to make more hardship on everyday people. It's just absolutely mind-boggling.
I know.
And it shows the nature of this Negro. And then you have Negroes that want to defend this filthy, sinking, no good devil.
I can't see how anybody could think that Donald Trump could win another election based upon what he has done and his behavior, the things he has said, more importantly, is what he has done. I can't see. And that just shows you how amoral this society is to allow this man to once again to be the leader of the country. And believe me, all the other folks wasn't about nothing, and Brock included. But this guy... Even more so as a buffoon.
How did you think that he's not going to,
What is that, Jay? How do I think what?
How do you think he's not going to be reelected with the mindset of them Negroes and the Yoruba? Oh, man, I can tell you this right now. I guarantee you he'll get more black votes than he did 2 years ago. I guarantee it. I bet money on it. And I'm a betting man. That's what I do.
Well,
that's my side hustle, gambling. So what I'm saying to you is, I will bet my dollar against your dollar that cracker going to be reelected.
Okay, we're going to try to watch this. Watch what we say. We're going to use the word Yoruga, but we're going to, I know I slipped up too, but, you know, because I know we're passionate.
I didn't use that word you told me.
I know.
I didn't. Talk about what I like my cheese and peanut butter with. I didn't say that's what I like my cheese and peanut butter with.
Me too, man.
Now, I always have a little peanut butter in them things, the little square or round things. But I won't say the
word. I hear you. Well, listen, Jay, I need to take a break. When I come back from the break, you're always welcome to join me right here.
I'll call back in, my great African brother.
All right, my brother. Peace to you. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. You stay right here with us so we can have more discussion. I know I guess, brothers and sisters, well, let me go to the break, and I'll further talk about it when we come back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie. On Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am here with you this afternoon with our discussion, open mic. Let me tell you about some other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. This program is here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Mondays and Wednesdays, immediately following this program, is the Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Also, on Mondays in the evening is Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Following Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And then on Fridays, today, this evening, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister PLC. And then Sunday night, we end our weekly program with Time for an Awakening at 7 p.m. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah, you know, I'm very passionate about this, and you know, trying to wake our people up, trying to help our people understand who we are historically and culturally, what we must do, and all the things that are against us. But because we've been so well trained over the many centuries that we have been here, and many decades particularly, that we keep holding out hope that somehow, you know, we'll be treated fairly and justly. I understand some of the people, a few of our people are doing well. Some are doing exceedingly well. I understand that. I still use that 100%. Of that 100%, 40%, 40% of our people are not doing well. They're at or below poverty. The other 40% are 2 to 3 paychecks away from being at or below poverty. When the shutdown happened, for those just a little bit of time, proved that what I'm saying was correct. Then there's the 20%. 10 of the 20% are doing well. They have good jobs, good pensions, maybe have a good business. They're doing well. They live in subdivisions, gated communities, cul-de-sacs. They're doing well. Then the other 10% are doing exceedingly well, such as the brother with the investment fund who was able to write off the school loan debt for the graduating class of Morehouse College of 2019. And I'm quite sure the families of that, the families of those graduates thank him. They're doing exceedingly well. They're athletes and entertainers, most of them. Very few men like the brother. There are some brothers and sisters who are now the head of some companies that are not ours, and that's good for them. But I'm talking about ours. God bless the child that's got his own. We're in such a constant begging mode. And what do beggars get, brothers and sisters? Exactly, they get crumbs. They get crumbs. And so this program, which is dedicated to independence of African people, dedicated to the self-determination that we talk about in the Kwanzaa principles, the second principle of Kwanzaa, Kujichagulia. Liberation. African Liberation. African Liberation Day. why that was so important, why it is vitally important that we recognize African Liberation Day, the liberation of the continent, and the liberation of African people, that wherever we are, we know our home is secure. And wherever we are on the planet, in Europe, in China, Australia, wherever we are, we hold our heads high. We feel good about who we are. We don't want to be like anybody else because we love who we are. We love our dark skin, our broad nose and close curled hair. We love our women. We love our children. We have good family life. That's what should happen, because by doing those things, we would be sovereign. Nobody would tell us what to do. We wouldn't be fearful of, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? How are they going to act? Now, I understand what Jay was saying, and I understand there's some people who I've talked to, and that's what they would like to do. And obviously, that's deep, because that's, although their numbers are dwindling, but hell, they're going to be here for another, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. Just as I was saying about that new sitcom, because what they're doing is just like they've done other places. They make you honorary Caucasians. And believe me, those who look most like are happy that they look that way. Because they feel and probably know they'll have more favor. Look at the history of multi, those who, the Caucasian, you want to call them mulattoes, or, you know, what do you want to call them? Brothers and sisters who were born out of a situation by Caucasians to be light-skinned with good hair, thin nose, don't have those features. I'll say this, dear brothers and sisters. There's no doubt about what we have to do, and I know a lot of us don't want to do it, but it's the reality. And what we need to do is embrace the concept. And I know next month we're going to talk about Juneteenth Day, and I usually when I talk about it, I laugh about it, because Juneteenth Day celebrates, although it celebrates, you know, in theory, the final ending of our captivity, the final when they went down into Galveston, Texas, and told the brothers and sisters, hey, y'all been freed 2.5 years ago. That's right, 2.5 more years of labor out of us. Liberation Day, 2019, Dr. Conrad World, my good friend, Dr. Conrad World out of Chicago. I apologize. African Liberation Day. This is the first of a two-part article on the origins and development of African Liberation Day, ADL. The celebration of African Liberation Day in the United States began in May of 1972 in Washington, D.C. More than 60,000 people participated in this historic event. In 1973, the following year, ALD was decentralized, and Chicago sponsored its first ALD celebration in May of that year. Since that time, we have celebrated ALD, African Liberation Day, I just like to say it, in various ways, with parades, rallies, and cultural programs. From the 1980s through the 1990s, National Black United Front, NBUF, Chicago chapter has sponsored African Liberation Day on the west side of Chicago, where we marched down Madison Avenue and culminated with a rally and cultural program in Garfield Park. These African Liberation Day events were very successful, and we were very honored to sponsor them. Other groups are now sponsoring African Liberation Day celebrations and activities throughout the United States. African Liberation Day has become an institution throughout the African world. It is a day when all people of African descent should come together, whether you were born in Ghana, Nigeria, Liberia, Kenya, Ethiopia, South Africa, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Haiti, Jamaica, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Belize, Bahia, Canada, Cuba, Trinidad and Tobago, Puerto Rico,
Paris, or Chicago. As long as you are an African with a common heritage and a common sense of conditions, you can should celebrate African Liberation Day. As we prepare to participate in the upcoming African Liberation Day events and activities around the world, we must always remember the origin and development of African Liberation Day. Our ancestors, Kwame Ture, explained African Liberation Day was founded by Kwame Nkrumah on the occasion of the first conference of independent states held in Accra, Ghana, and attended by eight independent states. The 15th of April was declared African Freedom Day to mark each year the onward progress of the liberation movement and to symbolize the determination of the people of Africa to free themselves from foreign domination and exploitation. Further, the All African People's Revolutionary Party points out that on the 25th of May, 1963, 31 African heads of state convened a summit meeting to form the Organization of African Unity, the OAU. They proclaimed May 25th as African Liberation Day and a call for mass demonstrations and manifestations in every corner of Africa and the African diaspora. The idea of African Liberation Day has its origin in a long history of African people to break free of the yoke of European domination and European. I say it like this: European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, because that's what it is. So I don't use the word superiority or anything like that. I don't use that. You know, so this is a time in which we emphasize our oneness as a people with a common past, common set of problems, and a common future. The capturing of millions of Africans who were placed in captivity and introduced into the Western Hemisphere as property and commodities is the backdrop upon which we commemorate African Liberation Day. It was the captive trade industry of the 15th, 16th, and 17th centuries involving Britain, France, Portugal, Spain, Belgium, and Germany that served as the foundation for these Western powers and provided them the margin of profit in getting the greatest return off their investment. The Western world still seeks to keep Africa and African people worldwide in bondage so they can continue to maximize the greatest return off their initial investment. After chattel captivity was abolished in England and the United States, the trade industry began to wind down. The former trading nations found themselves no longer needing captives, but yet stumble upon the other natural resources of Africa. They began to fight over the gold, the diamonds, and all the other minerals and plant resources that were being discovered. This resulted in the calling of the Berlin Conference of 1884 and 85, where the Europeans united to divide the continent of Africa among themselves. It had been discussed historically that those who control Africa control the world. I repeat, it has been discussed that those who control Africa control the world. Why don't Africans control Africa? Therefore, the Berlin Conference was a crowning blow in African history. The results of this conference led to the carving up of Africa so that France, Britain, Portugal, Spain, Belgium, and Germany controlled separate territories throughout the continent. This became known as colonial period in African history. The colonial period in African history, just as captivity of African people captured and brought to North America, had a devastating impact on Africa and African people. It was not until the early 1950s that the first African country gained political independence in the movement to reclaim Africa. That country was Ghana, under the leadership of Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who led the Ghanaian people in their fight against British colonialism. I will continue to discuss the origins and development of African Liberation Day in the next column. Many groups around the country and the world
where African people reside, will be hosting African Liberation Day ceremonies this year. Don't forget to support African Liberation Day activities in your area of the world. I would agree. Like I said, that's my good friend, Brother Conrad Worrell. He was the professor emeritus of the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies in Chicago. The Carruthers Center, Dr. Jacob Carruthers. Yeah. We have our work cut out for us, don't we, brothers and sisters? But that struggle. Frederick Douglass says, where there's no struggle, there is no progress. That struggle. And we, brothers and sisters, must. It is a challenge. It is our challenge. My problem is, instead of begging Europeans and begging Caucasians, why don't we work on ourselves? Why don't we begin to listen to our scholars, our historians? Listen to our elders. Let the ancestors speak to you in various forms. In today's society, in today's world, everything is available to you. You can go on YouTube right now. You can go on YouTube and you can hear Marcus Garvey. You can hear Dr. Clark and Dr. John G. Jackson, Dr. Ace. You can hear Francis Cresswell. You can hear, then you can hear contemporaries. Not just our ancestors, but you can hear the contemporaries. I know a lot of us don't read. I was talking to the sister yesterday at the Medu bookstore, and the struggle that she's going to have, that she's having, rather, excuse me. I told her I was from Milwaukee and said, they don't have a bookstore. She said, yeah, y'all used to have a bookstore. I said, yes. Reader's Choice. Yeah, Reader's Choice. I said, yeah, Sister Carla. Yeah, she gave up the bookstore a few years ago. I remember when there was three bookstores in Milwaukee. But of course, we don't understand the devastation of artificial intelligence. We don't understand the devastation of technology. That's why with all the people that are on the continent, they don't need robotics. They need production, physical production that they need to be trained to do. They need jobs. They need, and with the right leadership and the right understanding of how to bring that together in a collective, you know, we have everything we need. That's what's bothering me about this whole situation, brothers and sisters. We have it. We have everything we need. Only thing we don't have is the right mind and the will to make it happen. The right mind and the will. Marcus Garvey said, up you mighty people. You can accomplish what you will. See, I know even in what I just read, there's the word race. I don't use the word race because there is no such thing as race. There's only one race. That is the human race, of which African people are fathers and mothers of. There's only one. Europeans devised, created the concept of race. They did that. You can look up Carol Linnaeus. You can look up Johann Blumenbach. They did that. Stratifying human beings, giving themselves the top position as the most human evolved to us as the lowest position, the less evolved. And then, of course, went around claiming everybody's stuff in the name of and claiming ancient stuff. They claim Kemet, calling it Egypt. They claim that. They claim that was a European creation. When Henry Breasted wanted to create the Oriental Museum in Chicago, he used to write the history of people more objectively to some degree, I would believe. But when he had to get this museum, he needed money. And the root
of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and their privilege was firmly entrenched already. So they said, no, man, Well, I'll say this is the great white race. And, of course, he did that. And contained in that area of the great white race is you. In fact, it might have been where they established Europe as a continent. That's how arrogant Europeans are. Establishing Europe. There's not seven continents. There's only six. Europe's not a continent. Europe's just the western part of Asia. Using the Caucasus Mountains has a divide between what is east of that and what is west of that. And then, having had connections to Africans, when there were Greeks, when there were Romans, and then falling into a dark age, the medieval age, that the only information was that was happening was in the western part of Asia, the far western part of Asia, Europe, were the Moors. Men, women who were influenced by Islam, when the spread of Islam in the 6th century. From that point of 6th century on, and then they swept across northern Africa. Egypt is the way it looks today because of that. The people there in Egypt are not the ancient Kemetic people. They're not the people who build the temples, tombs, and pyramids. But they're the ones who benefited tremendously off of them to this day. You see their stores and malls. They're selling cartouches and fabric and all kinds of artifacts. And have them and have many of the artifacts look like them, just like what the Europeans did. To displace us. That's why Jop was so adamant. He understood that we need to connect that. Because that is a model. I don't believe he was saying, at least I feel that he wasn't saying, y'all need to go back there so y'all can learn how to build pyramids. And we built pyramids and did a damn good job. It's still standing. In fact, there's a saying that man fears time, and we do. Shit, I looked at the picture of myself the other day. Man, look, I like that picture. I wish I could look back way to now. But no. Man fears time, but time alone fears the pyramids. Because even though how they look today, with the rocks being exposed, you can literally climb up them. Of course, you can't because of the Egyptian government's guards and so forth. Understandable. But when they were completed, at least the pyramids at the Giza Plateau had a limestone covering. They were smooth. And of course, that limestone covering would allow those pyramids to bling when the sun hit them in the morning, as the earth rotated towards the sun and shining on the face of Hori Maket, who the Greeks called the Sphinx. Hori Maket, he ruled the horizon. The sun would shine on his face and then its body, the body of a lion, and then those pyramids that he sits in front of at the Giza Plateau facing east. And so those Arabs, or later to be Muslim, whoever, they had no respect for that. They had no understanding of it. In fact, it was Hori Maket was under sand. The only thing that was visible was his head. Now, whether Napoleon men in the 1700s shot the nose off of whatever, I don't know. But you don't see noses flying off the statues in ancient Greece. What, did they use something, a better material, where ancient chemists' materials were just nose flying off, lips flying? No. They were defaced. You can see... statues of Europeans. Did the nose fly off David? And David, well, they moved David inside, the statue of David, Michelangelo's statue of David, they moved it inside to protect it from the elements. It was out in the environment, in the app, you know, but no. And so what they wanted to do when they came out of that dark age, that medieval age, when Martel and Charlemagne and others, they said, we made war amongst ourselves because we're a war culture. That's who we are. That's what we are. We love war. We love fighting. We love killing. We love blood. Hell no, there ain't no, we don't want peace. I'll never forget that. I'm sitting at the firehouse table reading an article was commissioned about to find out if there could be peace in the world, could work for peace. And they came back, no, can't afford it. We can't afford to have peace. No. And you can see the war machine, Eisenhower, when he was president, aside from building the freeway system, he warned the American public about the military-industrial complex, which now evolved into the prison-industrial complex. But the military-industrial park, the military-industrial complex will always be there as long as you have Caucasians. Because why? They're hell-bent on destruction and war. It's a war culture. It's a rape culture. It's not a culture of benevolence. It's not a culture of love and caring and sharing and family. And it's none of that. It's a war culture. And we keep begging to be a part of it. That's why when I see on Facebook somebody who ascends to, just like they had those all those sisters who are graduating from West Point. Now, if all those sisters are graduating from West Point are doing something clandestine to formulate and lead a counter-revolutionary guard, I'm down with that, but that ain't going to be happening. Because all the brothers, and I'm quite sure every brother and sister that fought in every war that this country has ever had, the ideal for them individually and for us collectively, that somehow that would change. But because of the lack of understanding of who we're dealing with, that never changes. That never changes for us. We will always be in a position, as Dr. Bobby Wright says, it defies all laws of probability. Wherever they are and we are, they're in a position of dominance and control, and we are in a subservient position. Their numbers are dwindling. They've always been, if you want to use the word, minority on this planet. They're the last of the humans to beginning to evolve. Human life began in Central East Africa, migrates from that point. If human life began in Central East Africa, the first civilizations began in Africa. Civilization was perfected by the time, you're talking about the ancient Kemetic civilization was over 5,000 years. There was Cush, Timari, and Punt before that. And now they come find out where other civilizations in Africa has older. What was happening with Europe? When Africans left, there's only Africans on the planet. They didn't evolve in this area, then evolved in that area, and then evolved in that area, like they tried to do some many decades ago, I think it was the 40s, with Peking Man or Meltdown Man or what the hell they wanted to do. No, there was only one African Eve. that all the DNA traces back down to. And ooh, what makes human beings different is the ability to adapt to environment. Well, the environment that we got cut off in 40,000 years ago, migrating out of Africa into what is now called Europe, caused those brothers and sisters to mutate. They had to change. They mute. What are you saying, Brother O.C.? Caucasians are mutations? They're mutants? Yeah. They're mutants. They mutated. They had to change. Either you adapt or you die. Everything that lives wants to live and will change itself to live. From a tiny microscopic organism to human beings will live. And so did the Caucasian. Instead of a thin body, slender body, with melaninated skin, dark skin, close curled hair, broad nose, and thick lips, it became a stocky body, holding heat, hairy all over. You have to have that hair, especially down the back of your neck, because it gets cold. It's cold. It's an ice box. You got to... That's why some could argue that they're heartless in terms of, because they couldn't get that blood flow from their heart into their brain to think more humanistically. I have a hard time talking here. And so it is them and that mindset, a very selfish, very greedy. That is their mentality. And we think somehow we can appeal. They have no morals. They're amoral. That's why it was so ludicrous for Dr. King to consistently, he even told Harold Belafonte, he said, I believe I'm trying to integrate my people into a burning building. Yeah. Yeah. The thing for our leadership was to say what Malcolm was saying. El Hajj Malik El Shabazz was saying. But of course, he was under the influence of Elijah Muhammad in the Nation of Islam, and they were trying to create a nation here amongst these damn thieves. You wanted a part of this stolen land. I don't want a part of nothing that has been part of the thief. I just want what is ours. I want Caucasians, Asians, whoever else out of Africa. I want the Africans with abilities to come home. I want Africans to control Africa's resources. I want Africans to work with Africans on the continent seriously, respectfully. Not like what we did when Lincoln said, well, I can send y'all back to Africa. We'll create Liberia because, you know, we have the ability to do any damn thing we want to do. So we'll create Liberia for y'all and we'll send you back there. And those Negroes, and that's what they were, went into Africa and treated the Africans just like Caucasians and thinking that they were better because they were born here and they were exposed to Caucasians. And then later the Africans felt they were better because they had not been enslaved. And so you had that dynamic that still plays out today in Liberia. Let me get a phone call in here. 646, good afternoon.
Yeah, Ochi, man, you know you won a lot. And you're asking a lot of the Negro and the Negro being, man. And, you know, unfortunately, they don't want to give it.
I know.
They don't want to give it up.
I know.
You know, the bottom line, and I'll say this. If we came together collectively and did what we had to do and what we are supposed to do, we wouldn't have to worry about the Yoruba.
Right. That's my point.
You know, because the bottom line is, you know, we have what the world is looking for. We just haven't closed down shop.
Right.
We're not giving it to them.
Right.
I mean, take into consideration chocolate. How is it that we produce the majority of the chocolate in the world and we only get 2% of the growth?
Right.
That's just not me.
That's right.
That has to stop. That's beyond. That should be the battle cry to wake us up and to understand what's being done to us by this Yoruba. But for some reason, it seems like we can't grasp it.
Yeah.
So if you can't grasp it, how could you address it? How could you deal with it? How could you change it? I mean, our situation, our situation, to be honest, Ochi, is dire.
It is, because it is life or death. Because when you understand the situation, when you understand what Caucasians are faced and their possibility, because they're not reproducing, they're experiencing a negative population growth, and the fact of how do I hold on to this? Now, understand this, Jay, and you know this too, that they have held on and done some great things without having to be a minority. I mean, without having to be a majority, you know. They did that in South Africa and in other places. Because what they do is they, you know, Europeans have always found a better way to kill your ass. They're a war culture. When they're in their human development, they always found better ways to kill you. Catapults, crossbows, all kind of torture equipment. Look at the Inquisition. Look at the medieval times. I'm sorry, Jay, what'd you say?
The Yoruba is on decline. He's on decline on the planet.
He's been on the decline.
We're the only ones that can't see it. Everybody else see it except for us. We're the only ones. And we don't want to do nothing about it.
Well, the thing is this. Nobody... The European didn't do to other groups what they have done to us. Those other groups...
Not directly.
Were, right. The other groups were...
Not
were,
directly, but he has.
Well, no, listen, Jay, listen.
The other groups have suffered.
No, they have, but I'm saying to you, they've maintained their cultural understanding of who they are. We haven't. Right. We were disrupted.
No, I think we do have a cultural... understanding of who we are, we just don't collectively practice it. And that's why we're in the condition that we're in. And until we collectively practice it, then we're going to stay in this same situation. Because remember, when China started their resurgence, they went back to their cultural ways, but they also became a very brutal society to eliminate the traitors.
Right.
And that unfortunately is the only way that a culture can move forward. That's what unfortunately we as Africans are going to have to do if we're ever going to be in a position to survive on the planet. Because let's be very clear, we have everything that it takes to be on the world stage. I mean, if you just stop doing certain things, you know, it could be so damaging. I was listening to somebody say the other day, and I may have it mixed up, but they were saying that if China really wanted to destroy America, one of the things that they could do is stop giving America lithium, or it could be the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Well, also what they could do, is they could say, hey, this is what y'all owe me. Pay up.
Well,
America
that
is in
right,
tremendous
that
debt.
Right there would cause,
right.
That right there would cause too many problems. But you know what? You know what the Chinese do? And I have to give them respect. They just find another partner. And the other partner, they negotiate and they get terms. And matter of fact, from what I've read so far, the Chinese are getting better terms from the Brazilians on soybeans than they want for America. And in the process, who's getting screwed?
America.
The Americans.
America.
And those that are benefiting from it are those who play the commodity market that are clear on what's going on and position themselves to make a killing. See, the whole thing boils down to, and somebody had said it on my Facebook page, when I had asked the question, who's going to benefit from the tariffs? And the person said, those who understand the stock market. And when you think about it, those are going to be the ones who do. And who are those? Those are the 1%ers. So the bottom line is, until we place ourselves in a position of strength, we're just going to constantly and continuously go through what we're doing. Until, you know, we collectively, as your boy Farrakhan say, separate. But the difference is, when we separate, we can't ask the Yorugu for nothing. We have to be self-sufficient and do what we have to do.
Right.
And place ourselves in a position to protect ourselves. You can't ask your oppressor to give you anything when you telling them, I don't want to be around you no more, daddy.
Well, listen, this is
that don't even make no sense.
It doesn't.
How could you tell the daddy, I don't want to be a part of your thing, but I want the daddy to give you something because you supposedly say he owe you something? That's why black people will never get reparations.
Black
people will never get reparations because the daddy don't have no incentive to give it to you because you're not in no position
to let
him give you anything. But think about this, though. Remember, all of the people who received reparations were those who were in a position to help the Yorugu in some form or fashion.
Right.
We can't do nothing for the Yorugu.
Well, we can't now in our present state, but the bottom line was this. I look at it like the Exodus did not happen historically. There was no man Moses. There was no situation in ancient Kemet in the time of around the 18th dynasty of Ramesses II. It never happened. And that's proof. It never happened. But an Exodus must happen. We're leaving these confinements that we've been in here, particularly in America, because we're the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet, leaving here, going home, just like supposedly the Hebrews did, you know, in ancient Kemet. Because it never happened. But it must happen. Jay, it must happen. We need an exodus. We need to get up out of this madness. Because the only thing about this madness for us is our destruction, our death.
Hey, Oshie, do you know that this cracker is
placing... I know you messed up.
I was thinking about that cheese that I got on the counter that I'm about to cut.
All right. Go ahead.
You know, Oshie, do you know that this Yorugu now... It's got our kids so confused and so bamboozled and so hoodwinked that they're now getting into a situation in regards to getting a college education that they will not be able to pay off in their lifetime. And do you also know that debt transfers to your kids? People don't tell you that.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, the thing is this, Oshie. I'm saying to every young kid now that I'm dealing with, become self-sufficient in the way that you guide your life and go into things and do things that you can educate yourself that will lead to you being able to get some form of employment. So every kid that I'm talking to now, I'm telling them, look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to learn coding. I want you to get an A+ certificate. And I want you to get yourself in a position to where as you can maybe create apps and be able to go and do certain things that will allow you to get a job and then move forward. And a perfect example is my nephew who did it that way. He started out with an A+, self-taught himself networking, and now he's about to go to, I think, Colorado or somewhere to take his certificate for networking security, and he already has a job making six figures, no college debt, no nothing, and once he passes that certificate for networking securities, he's now placing him in this position
to
go anywhere from $175,000 to $200,000.
Outstanding. Listen, no Jay, I gotta close because I've got to get a body here and right on from him. Have a great weekend, Jay. Enjoy your weekend, man. Enjoy yourself and be safe, man. Okay?
I will.
All right. I won't be here, brothers and sisters. Next week, I'll be in New Orleans at the firefighters training program where we train firefighters to run fire departments. We've been doing it for 20-some years. We've had big results. But when I come back, I'll talk more about it. And when another sad fact about the fire service that is still very problematic today because it has been and will continue probably to be one of the most racist occupations that there is. But I really appreciate it once again. I really appreciate the opportunity. There'll be some previously recorded programs here. I won't be able to broadcast while I'm in New Orleans, but believe me, I'll be thinking of y'all. And you guys have a great weekend. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor are the minds of the oppressed. And this program is dedicated, and this forum, Black Talk Radio Network and Time for an Awakening, all of it is designed and committed to helping to free our minds. It is the mind. But for me, what I'm talking about is not just the M-I-N-D, but it's the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. And that is ours. We just need to throw off the shackles on our minds and our hearts and come together. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Be safe. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Habibi Fahodio. Habibi Fahodio is our victorious destiny. Habibi Fahodio family, you take care and you have a wonderful day. Peace.